dear friends in Christ. In a few minutes, the very formal part of our spring day of theological reflections will begin. Our speakers will concentrate our thought on a very precious document as part of our great and glorious Lutheran heritage. This document, the Formula of Concord, grew out of a time of deep stress and turmoil, because there were those who were willing to sacrifice the scriptures as the certain word of God, and also to sacrifice the cardinal doctrine of salvation by grace alone. But under the guidance and blessing of our gracious God, our fathers very carefully set forth, on the basis of the scripture, the true meaning and the significance of the scriptures as the inspired and the certain word of God. And unabashedly, they held to salvation by grace alone as the only way to life and salvation. The form of Concord stresses the three great alones of the sola: scripture alone, faith alone, and grace alone. It very carefully stresses that great truth, which St. Peter so very beautifully and eloquently stresses in our lesson of this morning, namely our certain heritage of salvation by grace alone. The Apostle Peter addresses this letter to those whom he terms chosen or elect people of God. And what higher and more glorious term could he use as he spoke to these people living in what today is mainland Turkey? The text tells us that these people were suffering because of their faith in the certain promise of a risen Christ. They needed a word of comfort. They needed a word of encouragement. And hence Peter says to them, "Let us praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by raising Jesus Christ from the dead has in his great mercy given us a new birth, so that we live and hope for an inheritance that isn't destroyed or defiled and never fades away, as it is kept for you in heaven." That Greek term for inheritance is a rather interesting one. It is one that is regularly used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament as the word for the land of Canaan, as the inheritance of God's covenant people, Israel. God kept his promise to Abraham and gave his descendants this land to be their land. But the Old Testament tells us that Israel failed to cherish its covenant relationship with God. She was unfaithful to him. And in the worship of the Canaanite fertility gods by God's covenant people, the land too was defiled. The land too was polluted. And now in Peter's time, this inheritance was fading away. The land had for some centuries been held by a series of different conquerors. But Peter reminds the hearers and readers of his letter that their inheritance was something that was very certain. It was not tied to a place on earth, but to the promise of an unchangeable God. And therefore, it could not be hurt in any way. It could not be corrupted. It could not be defiled. It had been won through and by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And so Peter reminds these Christians that this inheritance is being kept for them in heaven. Now the word "kept" in the Greek, again, is a very interesting term, having a very important military overtone. It is a word, when Peter used it, evoked for the readers of this letter the vision of a strong Roman garrison held by well-trained, tough Roman legionaries, those soldiers for which Rome was so famous. But Peter says, look, your inheritance is being kept for you by a greater and a stronger power. It is kept and guarded for you in heaven itself. And what is more, you who are suffering for your faith, this inheritance is being guarded and kept for you by the all-knowing and the all-powerful God, the Lord of creation and the Lord of history, the Lord of your salvation. And hence, their inheritance would be theirs in perfection and fullness when God would choose to call them to receive them to himself. Kept faithful by the power of God and his grace, they would have peace and glory and honor when Christ comes again. You and I, dear friends, share that same blessing, that same joy, the same certain hope in the risen Christ as did these chosen people of God of the first century. It is our prayer that you and I may always cherish that wonderful privilege that you and I have as being chosen people of God, that we will always experience and appreciate the great and wonderful grace that we experience each day of our life. And that the words of St. Peter, as he closes in the verse of our text, will always be true of us when Peter says, "You who never saw him, but love him, you don't see him now, but you believe in him. And a joy unspeakable and wonderful fills you with delight as you get what by faith you're looking for, your salvation. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with faith in Jesus Christ our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen."